So open your Bibles to James chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 11 and 12 this morning. Last week we looked at the idea of where our heart is, who we are friends with, the world or with God, and that part of the conflicts and part of the troubles, or the source of a lot of our quarrels and troubles, has to do with the idea that we're serving ourselves and we're stepping into God's territory rather than surrendering to Him. And verses 11 and 12 sort of relates to that. It's more particular. Here he's talking about speaking against one another. Slander, backbiting, grumbling, complaining, moaning and groaning, gossips, those kinds of things. To speak against one another. We're hurt and we want to share it with how many dozen people? On the internet. It becomes public information. And yet what's going on? We're told not to do this. We're commanded not to do this. But we do it anyway because we don't respect our brothers and sisters. We don't respect their feelings. We don't love our brothers and sisters, love others as we love ourselves. We are offended, but yet we don't do things correctly when we're offended. We don't go to the person. We don't deal with it in a loving way. And it's something that condemns all of us, doesn't it? I mean, really? I mean, wasn't that... people would say that baseball is our national sport, but couldn't you say grumbling is pretty close? I mean, really? I mean, yeah, speaking against other people, that's almost as natural as breathing. So, you know, we're talking about something where the rubber hits the road here, and we're being challenged in these two verses. I'll read them, and I just want to point out two particular points in what's in the passage. The idea of respecting one another as people, and the other idea is the idea of respecting God as God, is involved in this. In verses 11 and 12, James chapter 4, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges a brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and one judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" Most of it is directed toward the idea of stepping on God's territory. But I do believe the first part, the very first sentence, indicates there's something else going on too. "Don't speak against one another, brethren." We speak against a brother. Does that mean it's all right for us to slander or speak against a non-Christian? I don't think so. I think what he's saying here is we need to remember that the people we speak against are people for whom Christ has died. These people we speak against are people that God loves, whether they're Christian or not Christian, and that we need to show them respect and treat them as we ourselves want to be treated. Now look, if somebody does a crime against us, the person that we ought to complain to is a police officer. Right? I mean, that's God's avenue of taking care of stuff like that, isn't it? If something that we have to complain about somebody is a sin, but it's not a crime, what are we supposed to do? Matthew chapter 18. Go to him in private and speak to him. If he listens to you, you've won a brother. And if it's something that, if it continues, he's going to lose his soul. We have a whole process, right? We continue on and go through a disfellowshipping process. But it's not a public proclamation of other people's sins. It's not a, "Did you know what so-and-so did to me?" And we go and we talk to a dozen people trying to milk them for sympathy and getting all sorts of pats on the back about how great a sufferer we are and how outrageous what the other person did. And so what we end up doing really is stoking the fires of our discontent and our pain. And we get the approval of our own judgments. Why? Because we choose people who are going to agree with us, right? I mean, who are you going to complain to except somebody who's going to say, yeah, you poor soul. Yeah, I can understand. And if your judgment happens to be wrong and they say, well, what in the world are you talking about? Don't be so, don't be so hard. Or if somebody rebukes you for your judgment, well, you go find somebody else, right? Don't we? Well, that's not the way it should work. You know, we should be working to the person who offended us, go to the person who offended us and try to be reconciled. Try to learn how to let love cover a multitude of sins. We ought to respect one another. And not only that, but we need to have a respect for God in the whole process. And we talked about this several different times in several different ways. Jesus says, judge not lest ye be judged. For the way in which you judge, it will be judged to you, right? It'll be measured out to you. We're supposed to use judgment, but we're not supposed to pass judgment. I've said that before, I'll say it again. We're supposed to know what's right, know what's wrong. We're supposed to make judgments about how we behave. We're also supposed to understand whether something that somebody does is wrong or not. There is a right and a wrong. We should understand that. And we should be able to pick our friends. We should be able to pick people who we associate with. We should be able to use judgment in a constructive way. But when we grumble about one another, we're not just using judgment, we're passing judgment, and we're starting to become judges. And that's what he's saying in the last part of these two verses. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Are we keepers of the law, or are we the judges who administer the law? Who's the one who has the right to administer punishment? Demand punishment? It's God, isn't it? It's God. In Romans 13, we're told, I think it was Romans 13, and maybe the end of chapter 12. And I don't want to get it wrong. But it's in there. The idea is we're told leave room for the wrath of God, because judgment is His. We're stamping on God's territory, and that's the idea. If we're making ourselves judge, what are we doing? We're putting ourselves in God's shoes, aren't we? Trying to take over His job. You know what so-and-so did to me? You know how horrible he is? You know what a stinker that person is? And we start railing against the person, and we start wanting them to perish, and rallying support for my side and all of this kind of stuff. And what happens? We're acting like a judge of the law rather than a subject to the law. It's at the end of chapter 12, verses 19 to 21. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. And that's what James is saying here, really. I mean, it's a little bit, the phrasing is kind of awkward for us to think about, but that's what it is. We're not administrators of the law, we're keepers of the law. What law do we keep? To love your neighbor as yourself, and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And I don't know, would you kind of feel the love if you knew people were talking about you behind your back, saying all sorts of bad things? Heaven knows, I got enough bad things that people could be talking about. And I kind of guess that each one of you do too. And it would behoove us not to to get in that practice. Right? I mean, really, if we got, you know, we all have dirty laundry we want to clean up or bury if it's too far gone to clean up, you know? We have things that that we're ashamed of, we've apologized for, we ask for forgiveness, and we want it dead and gone. We've all done things to hurt one another that we don't even know. And maybe if the person we hurt came to us and talked to us about it, we would apologize and try to straighten it out. But, you know, what do you feel like if they don't give you that opportunity? But instead you find out that 20 other people are talking about this mistake that you made that you didn't even know you made. And you go to the person and they won't even acknowledge. That's the kind of thing. Don't speak against one another, brethren. We are not in a position to judge one another because we're people who need mercy. Isn't that the case? And when we stand in judgment of one another, we're forgetting our need for mercy. We're forgetting our place before God. And we're starting to what? Exalt ourselves. How dare you hurt me? How dare you do that to me? Does that sound familiar? I mean, isn't that the basis of a lot of what other things that James is rebuking people for? It's me, myself, and I, and my pride, my hurt. And so when we start to judge people, we start exalting ourselves above who we are, putting our feet into the place of God where we don't belong, and we do all sorts of harm and all sorts of problems for one another and ourselves spiritually. And so no wonder James says, don't do it. Don't do it. Remember our place. I know the brethren will repeat it, and it's always a good thing. When you point your finger at somebody, there are three fingers pointing back at you. And it's good to remember that, you know, there but the grace of God go I. Maybe your sins are different than my sins, but I got sins too. And we both need that forgiveness, and we both need that mercy, and we both need help. We all need help. And we ought to look at one another as weak and in need of God's mercy and help. And grumbling against one another does not help. Grumbling against one another tears down and it destroys. You've heard cases, and I don't have specific names, but I'm sure you've heard cases in the news over the past couple of years of teenagers killing themselves because of how badly they've been picked on in the internet. And what is it? They're complaining about one another, about how ugly or fat or unfashionable or I don't know. Stupid stuff. And stuff that isn't even true. But they're outwardly, openly complaining and murmuring against one another out on the internet. It happens in the playground. It happens in the schoolyard. And unfortunately, adults do it too. You look at the Israelites. How did they behave? What were they doing? Who gave us this Moses? Where is he leading us? What's he doing? And they're challenging his leadership, and they were gossiping about him behind his back and grumbling and complaining, and eventually they're complaining about God. God was not happy. And God is not happy about us if we engage in this and we make it a habit. He wants us to turn away from it. We're going to talk about some of this stuff tonight. But I'll share a lot of it. One of the things that we need to do is start to put ourselves in the other person's shoes and respect the other person. Respect the other person's feelings. To look ahead and understand that the whole world isn't about me. And when we speak, we need to take into account that it affects other people. And that we need to care for other people. And so, but think before we speak. And we're going to be talking about helping to cure some of the sins of the tongue tonight. But that's one of them. Another part of it is to fill ourselves with the positive, because usually what we're thinking about is what bubbles out. And when we're spending all of our time grumbling and moaning within ourselves and only thinking about the bad stuff and not remembering who we are and where we're going and who we belong to and the promises that we've been given, we can turn into a walking storm cloud. I can. I don't know about you. But Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, you know, whatever is honorable, whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is true, let your mind dwell on these things. Sometimes we don't do that. Our mind fills up on stuff that we're grumbling about. And if we're grumbling to ourselves, what happens eventually is we grumble it out. So that's another thing that we can do. Another thing that we can do is taste our words before they come out of our mouths. I've said it before, and I think you've heard it before, but taste your words before you say them, because you never know when you may have to eat them. And it's true. I mean, how many times have you wished you could take something back? But once you say it, it's out there, and you can't take it back. I mean, there isn't any attachment to an Electrolux that you can put on somebody's ear to take the words that you said into it out, right? I mean, once it's recorded in the brain, that's it. You know, you said it to so-and-so, and you can't unsay it, and it's irretrievable. So when we speak, let's be circumspect. Let's be careful about who we talk about, what we talk about, and do so understanding that, hey, I need mercy every bit as much as this person I'm upset with. And what would God want me to do? Respect that person as a person that God loves. If not a brother in Christ, a brother in Adam. And then to respect God and let God be God and let God be the one to judge. And help God, ask God to give me the wisdom to know how I should handle the situation. And it's not by grumbling. It may be by confronting, it may be by warning, it may be by teaching. It may just be covering it up by love and being patient, but we need to do it God's way. And that's my lesson for this morning. We all need to repent of that, I suppose, if I say, if any of you have grumbled, come on forward, but, you know, I think that, you know, that goes for everybody here, really, I think, at one time or other. But to keep us on our toes and to keep us from slipping back into those things, please bear that in mind. If you want to know more about Christ, if you want to know more about the way of life in Christ, if you want to put the Lord on your baptism or have other requests, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.